listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, happy Tuesday, guys. So glad you can join me again on this Tuesday. As promised, I am back from the Dominican Republic. Got some great things to share with you about that adventurous trip. You guys are definitely going to have a good time tonight on this show. But you know, you remember Becky with the good hair, the video vixen, the, you know, husband stealer, Beyonce's, I don't know what to call her. I can't say much of competition because that's Beyonce. But, you know, we have some questions to ask her. And hopefully she can give us some insight on her side of the story. Let's see if we can pull some stuff out of her today, guys. Things that she didn't say on the last go round. Let's see if we'll get her to tell some intimate secrets of, you know, the whole elevator situation and getting naked and letting her hair down. We'll see what she has to say. But I got to tell you guys, this year, April 2022, will be a year that I'm on the air with LA Talk Radio. Yay! Stories we've got to cover, some sad, some, you know, in between, and some difficult to even listen to. But I'd like to thank all my listeners for being here, not being, you know, judgmental towards people that come on and having intelligent questions to ask, you know, like the guy that got the 40 years for, you know, stabbing up the girl who was cheating on him while he was away, taking care of his sick mother. I tell you, these stories are hard to digest sometimes, but at least we have a good way of moving forward. And there's been some things that we put on the air as well that put people on blast, like that whole DHS CUA system, you know, the kinship parents, the parents that don't take care of their kids, that just they just want basically a check. We've put a lot of eye opener, and we've even went as far as putting out the Vatican, you know, the Catholic Church, the pastors, preachers that were not just recently having, you know, I can't even say that word on the air, but having bad thoughts to do bad things to children who cannot defend themselves. Remember that kid we talked about, you know, the Reverend Doctor and the young boy that he wanted to take fishing? He wanted to go fishing, all right. But, you know, it's kind of hard to swallow that pill because when you just think about a young man being taken advantage of, you know, and it happens, you know, people have a tendency to trust the church. And sometimes it's not true in the church because, as you know, a lot of scandals go on in the church. You got woman, you know, womanizers, you got man stealers, you got a little bit of everything that comes from all walks of life. And we have the perception of, you know, this person is in the church, they're a good person. Not necessarily true, but you have to use your gut instinct and you just have to keep your eyes open and you have to make the right decisions going forward to even see if the person is a good person within. You remember Joe, right? Joe being Joe and wife 215. Well, I tell you, Joe being Joe, actually, good news, guys. He actually beat his charges, so he's a free man again. Wife 215 is still going through the motions of, you know, the beatdown that she received from Joe being Joe, of course. But, you know, these things happen, and unfortunately, we got to just go with the flow and see how things play out. But, guys, I want to tell you, this whole Becky with the good hair, it's kind of strange because, you know, people had questions about, you know, what was her role in, you know, being a part of that whole elevator scandal, and was she actually a home wrecker? So we're going to find out today, and hopefully, because, you know, people get on the air and they get a little frozen, but Becky is on. Let's hear what she has to say. Hey there, Becky. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, I'm so glad that you can come back on, because there's some things that we need to clear the air on. Vixen and, you know, the beautiful girl, which, you know, I've seen your pictures and you look ideally beautiful to me, you know, so I can just imagine to a guy who's like gawking over you, I can just imagine his thoughts. So I wanted to ask you, because, you know, people have questions. They want to know a little bit about the elevator situation and, you know, with the Beyonce, Jay-Z situation. Like, did anybody know about you in that situation, or were you like just hidden up under the covers?
No one doesn't know at all. No one. I was hidden. It was a hidden thing. So, and I had to be able to sign some exclusive papers, you know, so I wouldn't be able to jeopardize everyone else's position. No, I'm not a homewrecker, because he has to invite me in. That's exactly what he did. He invited me in. He has to take up with his wife. I played my position at all times.
And what is your position?
I was the fun girl. The girl you can have sex with, go out to the parties with, enjoy life with, travel with, while the wife was home with the kids, doing whatever she did. And we had fun. And I just enjoyed that.
So, you know, just out of curiosity, how many guys that you have fun with are really married?
A few of them, you know.
So do you have more?
You know, my bills are paid. I had lavish life, living in cars, condo houses, you know, going around the world with them. So those things were fun. They would call, make their assistance, make the arrangements, and I would go.
So how do you feel
before I left, they gave me...
How do you feel if a married guy says... How do you feel if a married guy says, listen, I don't want to have protected sex? Like, what would you do in that situation?
Well, we would get tested first, and then take it from there.
What if he doesn't want to get tested?
Well, then I wasn't dealing with him. That was mandatory, yeah, for me to get tested.
You know, what if it's like in the heat of the moment type of thing where it just happens?
No, it was never in the heat of the moment, because we established that first before anything happens. That's the first thing we do. We talk about, you know, let's get tested first to be safe.
So do you think that one day you'll maybe settle down with maybe one guy?
Maybe. I almost was there. I almost did that. But, you know, being a man, he just didn't understand. So he just didn't know how to be. So we did with one woman. So basically, that was it. I ended it. You know, men are men.
How do you keep yourself so hidden? Because, you know, women like to snoop. What if a woman comes across your phone number or text messages? Like, how do you handle those type of situations?
Honey, you have the wrong number. Or, honey, speak to your husband about that. Take that up with him. I play my position very well.
So you're more like a team player.
Surely I want. I definitely will play team.
You know, and there's something I wanted to bring up, because we actually used you for a test situation to see if one of our callers that came on the air before, we just wanted to see if Joe being Joe was still going to be Joe, and to see how far it was going to go. You remember the gentleman, Joe, that we had you call and invite for a private session? And basically, I'll let you say what happened.
Joe was interested, and then he thought it was a joke. Then after, you know, we got talking a little bit more, and then I never went anywhere else. It was just the conversation. That was it. Because I think he got nervous. Because he thought something was up. But he was definitely down in the beginning. Like every man is.
So do you think he would have actually like went for it if he didn't get nervous? What do you think made him nervous?
I don't know. It just probably was just too, it was very awkward for him. And, you know, it was just out of the blue. It didn't, I guess because he didn't set it up and he didn't feel safe. Maybe that could have been the reason. I don't know. He just didn't feel, I guess, secure enough to have for that situation. You know, men want to be able, they want to have control of the situation with something like that. I won't say they don't have any control. It's like, no, they're not going to touch it.
So maybe if we hadn't initiated the phone call and he called independently, you think Joe being Joe would have went for the bait?
Definitely would have.
Well, how do you feel?
In the jungle, they want to eat everything. They want to have everything.
You mean like all exactly the other lionesses? They want to like eat them up?
No, he's the king. He wants to have each. Well, he's the king of the jungle. He wants to fuck every single lioness. He wants to control all of them.
Wow.
He wants to eat till his belly's full.
Because, you know, I saw a session on Animal Planet and there was a lioness just sitting there and all of the lions were like taking turns and it was just one lioness. So do you think like this is like men have like this animal nature tendency about them, like just, you know, sleep behind other lions?
I want them. It's like Skittles. Everyone has to have one.
Wow. They need to have
them. Eat them all. So men do.
So how do you feel knowing the mentality of a lot of these men and what they're actually going for? Is it more like money driven? Like, okay, he's going to pay, so it's okay.
Well, so certain men of power, they feel like they can have anything and want anything, get anything they want. So they're willing to pay for anything, and what at any cost. Because you know sometimes the money is nothing to them. And then especially when they have a certain amount of power, man, they gotta live their life to the fullest. They have to live their life at all times.
Do you think that your beauty sometimes supersedes the situation and it actually makes the guy say, she's so beautiful, like, I just want her?
Well, sometimes you have to be able to be, sometimes these guys don't be able to have conversation because sometimes they don't get that at home. They want a friend more than anything. You know, they have, their life is so busy, always tending to the children, tending to different things that they don't have any time for their husbands anymore. Like, you know, I believe that I have these conversations with these men where in the beginning, you know, everything is good for the first 6 months of the relationship. You know, I call it the horny moon. Everyone's having sex. Someone's having, enjoying each other, getting to know each other. Then now life comes into play after 6 months. And then after that, you know, you want to get married. You love the person that much. You fall in love with them. You want to get married. You want to do things with them. 2 years go by. Now kids are here. So now it's all about the folks for the kids. And sometimes the wife tends to forget about the man. And then she's going to have to deal with the kids. She forgets about her husband. She forgets about his needs, his wants, the things that he likes. She forgets about sucking his dick properly the way she used to. Because she's so tired with the kids all day long. The soccer, the baseball, the football, you know. And then he's out there working and he's doing his thing. And then they forget to love each other anymore. They forget to have conversation. They forget to have to think about each other. That's what happens that majority of the time. It's about the fifth year, they're just living with each other, just roommates. And they're just taking care of the children. And they'll have casual sex every now and then. And that's how it is. And then that goes into 10 years, 11 years, and or till they die. Or divorce. It depends on the situation.
Well, Becky, you've said a mouthful tonight, and I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. And I know you have a book coming out soon. I know you don't want to disclose that information yet, but we would love to have you back on the show to talk about the book and brief all the people, you know, where you'll be, book signings. We'll definitely be Team Becky to help you promote.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sure you're going to have a lot more questions for me when I come.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Becky, and I look forward to having you back on again.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Guys, I tell you what. My. Shameful. Shame on Becky. Huh. Lonely guys. And we did give Joe, being Joe, that test because we wanted to see if he actually set wife 215 up for the beatdown. Marks fall for it. But she's confident to say Joe, being Joe, would have actually went for the setup if we weren't a part of it. You know, the producers of the show and myself, you know, we wanted to see how faithful Joe, being Joe, was. And she says, actually, he was going to take a bite, but he was afraid. And usually these things happen, guys, when, you know, people don't want anyone to know their deep, dark secrets of what is going on behind closed doors. But I tell you what, I got some really good things to share with you guys. I have someone special sitting right next to me right now. Who is my husband. We were in the Dominican Republic. You know, some things that he experienced. He got a chance to meet my family that, you know, don't have papers to come to America yet. But, you know, hopefully soon. But I wanted him to share some things about his experience being in a third world country, and let's ask him a few questions. How did you feel about being on vacation in, you know, in a third world country? Like, how did you feel about that?
Well, third world wasn't actually so third world. I like the bonding that people had there as a culture. It just was different from like life you see. It's a lot of the family togetherness. Like when the relative house that we went to visit, when they cooked, it's like the whole entire neighborhood came to their house to eat. You know, a lot of the family values that a lot of us has lost. You know, I saw that it was still well and very much exercised in this place. I know as far as if Elle and I was probably in this country, I don't know what would happen. Because a lot of things that go on in the U.S.
So how did you feel about, you know, people? Well, let's take it back a little bit. Because people were actually looking at me. They were looking at you. And they knew, okay, she's one of us. Okay, because the distinction is definitely there. How did you feel about, you know, the looks they were giving you and feeling like you were actually bringing me back from a third world country because maybe you paid for me? Like maybe you paid for a wife.
Yeah, it looked like I went there to purchase a human, people, a lot of the people that's in Dominican Republic, some of the ones I've met. Oh, they're just really, really nice, welcoming people. I heard a lot of good things, a lot of bad things about over there. But based on what I've seen, I mean, it's nothing like in here in the U.S. when you got where you got people of the same color killing each other. It's, I didn't see or witness any of that. It was just welcome, open arms. If everything that was about currency, that's what it was about, currency. So if you saw, like, if you go somewhere to buy something, that's what it is. Just like anywhere else. But
that travel to the Dominican Republic, they have to stay on tourist land area. They don't go to the hood because they don't know anybody.
Oh man, that hood was beautiful. That was definitely an experience, you know, to see like the little mom and pop stands, you know, basically everything that's like majority of the merchants had basically grows like right there, like planting coconuts, mangoes. It's like shake a tree and put it on display at your little makeshift store, your bodega.
So. And how did you feel about that? Because I know this was a little different for you as an experience, because you grew up, you know, having all the dreams that America has.
Well, the bathroom where we stayed, they were really, really nice. But now, some of the bathrooms I witnessed in the hood, I don't know, it was just a hole, or it was a toilet without running water. Like, it was definitely saw a big difference.
So what did you...
Or a hole in the ground.
How did you feel about, you know, going to my family's house and seeing that they actually live in an area where there's no railroads? It's like just mud slop. And, you know, you're walking around with $1,000 pair of sneakers on through the rainforest that's full of mud. Being there, seeing like there's a guy sitting on the side of the water drain that goes from everybody else's little sewer hole. Like, he's sitting on the side of the road using the bathroom.
Oh, that was different. I never drove down the street and literally seen the crack of someone's ass with something dropping off. Like, that was, I don't know, that was definitely unusual. Like, not to be, that definitely wasn't something that you expect to see every day.
Do you think that more Americans, or maybe let's say the younger generation that's coming up, need to really have that experience of seeing how other countries live? And do you think that they would be more appreciative of the things? Because, you know, in America, they call them Bobos. You know, Bobos are like, we got great sneakers. It's not like the Louis Vuitton, the Nikes, you know, all the name brand stuff. Like, you really didn't witness a lot of that there.
No, but the one thing I appreciated seeing, like seeing people that wasn't so fascist and, you know, and, you know, superficial. So, like, everybody was just really down to earth, whatever the situation was. They had on a pair of Chucks with mud on them. They were totally happy and very content. Wasn't sitting there like, oh, when I'm angry, there were definitely some happy people.
Because you even saw some of my family members walking around with their socks so black that it looked like shoes, but they were happy walking around with muddy feet, with muddy socks on.
Well, that was cute. I don't know. I think next time I go, I'm definitely taking a great big care package. So, and anybody, I feel, you know, if you got any family that's in NDR, whatever, you know, you should probably visit, find out what the circumstance situation is. If you got to purchase a hot water heater or a faucet or some water lines, or like if they live in one of those rural, you know.
Do you think that in the Dominican Republic we would ever have a food shortage?
No, absolutely not. It's food ever. You can live off the land and be very healthy.
What did you think about the Dominican meal that was prepared? Because I know it looked like macaroni and cheese to you, and when you ate it, it was something totally different.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, it was plantain and what else? What was that?
It was plantains with a coat of cheese, which made it look like lasagna.
Wow, that
and,
was
and a hefty
really...
macaroni and cheese, but it was actually plantains with cheese on top of it.
That was really good. No indigestion, no heartburn. It's a very super healthy meal. And me being vegan and sometimes what's they called? Presbyterian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like their food was really good. That was definitely an acquired taste. Like you know, some for everybody, like a lot of people there, like a lot of them eat, because a lot of meat eaters there, but for the most part, you got about the same amount of people that don't eat meat, same as here. So,
you know, I'm so glad that I could have the opportunity to not only have my husband come down to DR and see the fascinating way of life and to see the hardship of many of the people that are just happy with nothing. Like they are like they're standing outside. The transportation system sucks. But I'd like to share more of that with you guys. Give me like 1 minute and I'll be right back for a commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home. Fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is. No repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Hey guys, back again. Well, my husband wants to share with you guys his situation of seeing, you know, how we don't have buses like America, like the bus system. You know, I actually took him on roads where he could see like that are up and becoming. And, you know, he got a chance to see people having motorbikes as taxi cabs. And what did you see that was so interesting about this motorbike cab service?
Yeah, like for like the Uber and the Lyft. So they had scooters and like, I don't know, it was just strange. This one guy, his scooter, he had a plastic picnic chair sitting on the, like actually tied to the front of the cart that he was dragging. So Like that was unusual. This was something I witnessed in the rural area, the hood over there. So,
which is more like the countryside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I guess like what it seemed like one of the main the transportation over there was the scooters and the mopeds. So.
And they had even, you know, adult passengers with newborn babies hanging off the back.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if they had L&I over there, L&I would have a lot of work to do. I don't know if L&I would be accepted over there, but if it was a license and inspection around, you know, I've seen some alarming stuff.
And just to see how creative people are, you know, like the guy didn't have a cart for the back of his moped. He actually had PVC plumbing connected.
To make his car seat out of, that was creative. But on the other side, you know, the most of the places that were more
modern,
like more, everything that like the place, like the areas, like the beach where we were at, it's like really nice, like really, really nice. Like the places that's nice and the some of the tourist places, you know, they definitely nice places. Gazebos on the waterfront and stuff.
And not only that, but you got a chance not to just go to, because we flew into Santiago and you only didn't get to see Santiago. We went to La Vega. We went to Puerto Plata. We went to Calabos, where, you know, I had to explain to my husband, listen, this is an area where you come fully armed. Like, you don't just drive around in this area, because if you're not from there, it's more like, don't go there. And being as though I am used to driving in the Dominican Republic, and he's also had that experience to be behind the wheel. Like, how did you feel being behind the wheel with all of the chaos of all these motorbikes, like in full attack on you while you're like trying to get where you're going?
I was excited. It was like, most roads didn't have a speed limit. So you basically could drive however fast you want.
How fast were you going?
Well,
140.
Yeah, yeah. Around when I was around all the mopeds, like, you know, I couldn't go over so fast. It was just more or less like being careful,
like a tactical event.
Some of those open roads and the other people that was driving beside me, you ain't got no choice but do 100 to 140 easy. You know, just to stay in the loop and keep everybody safe. Just had to go fast. But
how did you feel about the hospitality on the beach?
Oh man, every like the one thing I liked is, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they go on vacation, you know, they just stick to the resort area. But you know, actually going into like going into the hood and actually getting out, meeting people and shaking hands and talking and stuff, you know, that was definitely experience. That was definitely experience.
And what about your experience of actually going to the church? My cousin took you to the church up into the mountains with Christopher Columbus.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Christopher Columbus. I'm not too clear on what impact he had over there, but they definitely had this place, this church as a symbol for people to come in and worship and stuff like that.
And from what I was taught about Christopher Columbus, growing up as a kid, he didn't discover, you know, the Dominican Republic, but he discovered Spain, according to what we were taught.
Well, what and I was taught was
he's America.
That's like you coming to my house and coming to my living room and you telling me, hey, I discovered this place. Like, yo, if you don't get out the way of my flat screen, it's going to be a problem.
well, it's more like, and I don't want to sound facetious by saying this, but from what I heard, Christopher Columbus was a hot guy. All the Latino women loved him. It was like more like he was Spartacus. You know, like that guy with the sword and had all the women and all the women loved him. This is from what, you know, I wasn't around during that time, so I don't know. But from what you're taught as a child growing up, it's like Christopher Columbus. You know, it's just like in America, it's like Martin Luther King. And that name, Martin Luther King, Christopher Columbus. You know, he was the man.
Yeah. Well.
And as you can see, they worship him, and they even have that as type of memorial for him of, you know, him being him, I guess.
Yeah, as a young man growing up, I had access to a lot of literature that, you know, basically a lot of people tried to hide and try to burn and didn't want anyone reading. So, I have my own opinions when it comes to things.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you feel about being in a place where there was no racism?
Well, I didn't see any. I've heard in some areas in the Dominican Republic that the racism is definitely on a different level, but I absolutely did not see anything. Everyone I met, like some really, really great people. I can't wait to see them again.
And how do you feel about, you know, meeting and being a part of your new extended family that welcomed you back to come back anytime? You know, how did you feel about being at the party and just having a good time and everyone just enjoying themselves without a gun war going on? Like,
you mean not Philadelphia?
Not Philadelphia, not New York, you know, just being around good people, just want to party. I mean, all the kids were partying like rock stars.
Everybody was, grandmom, granddads, everybody was up and dancing and enjoying it. So there's a lot of love in the community. And when I think about it, in the United States, I can't remember, like, I had to go all the way back to my childhood at, like, a family reunion to remember being around that much togetherness, you know, seeing people just happy for everybody to be around, be there and happy and healthy. You know, not have larceny in the art, and you know, we could go back.
And actually being around family that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, and they were always trying to feed you, you know, eat some more, you know, have a good time.
Hey, I don't know how I'm getting this 60 pounds I picked up this week. I don't know how I'm getting it off. I don't. It's a healthy weight gain, but I'm full. I think I'm over the 300-pound mark right now.
Well, having good weight, good family members, very supportive family members, I'm glad that my family could show you such a great time. You got to see some of my heritage. see a little bit of how I grew up as a kid, you know, what I've experienced as a kid, because that is the new modern Dominican Republic. How I grew up, this place looks totally different from when I can remember, you know, growing up, especially being on a pig farm, a pig and chicken farm, from what I remember.
Wow. I can only imagine 20 years ago what life was like for you over there. Me, on the other hand, I think it'd be a nice place to have like a boxing, like a training camp for fighters. I could definitely see that in the future. Some fighters would be able to come and have their training camp right in the right there in the mountains.
You had the opportunity to visit a couple of boxing gyms and see what it's like over there, see how, but they were also very welcoming, you know, even though you're from the States.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like you were in a rat race of competition, like you were there to steal a fighter.
I was actually looking for a few good pros, but I like it there. It's nice.
I'm glad that you liked it. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad I got to share that opportunity with you to go around and look at some things and, you know, have you see things for what it truly is, and for you to even extend your hand to say, hey, guys, listen, maybe there should be some other people to chip in and, you know, donate a tailpipe, you know, a muffler, you know, something small would be good if someone said, hey, I got an extra pair of shoes that I don't need, you know, that I can pass down to someone. So that was really a really good experience that my husband had. I'm a frequent to the island. I usually go a few times a year because my dad is still living. He's still there. So I'm accustomed to going there and, you know, sleeping with the iguanas running around the house all night long. I mean, this is just what it is. No one sleeps with doors all locked. If you live in a certain area, then you have to, because there's predators from other islands that come to the island that could do harm, could, you know, rob you of mainly not even your food or your money. They just want like your passport. So you got to be real careful. That's something that you sleep with in your pants, because they will kill you to get your documents, because they want to come to America. This is like one of the golden traits in the Dominican Republic, having access to America. They all want to know what it's like to come to America, except they don't know what it's like living here. This life in America is very hard. This is a very selfish place. And it's like every man is for themselves. You know, if you need a cup of sugar, you can't go to your neighbor and say, hey, as a matter of fact, guys, I think I might try that with one of my neighbors. I'm going to go knock on their door and I'm going to videotape this. And I'm going to ask for maybe a cup of flour, some oil, some sugar. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm short. I'm baking a cake. Can you help me out? And let's see if they even open the door. Maybe they would, because I'm in a different neighborhood. But I mean, I just want to see the openness of someone actually saying, here you go. Let me, you know, I know that you need that, or you need to feed it. You know, that I think that would be a good experiment. So, and I'm going to videotape this, guys, so you can hear the response of my neighbor. And I got to tell you something. My husband and I, no offense to anyone listening, but we are I was formerly the darkest thing in the neighborhood. And now he is the darkest thing in the neighborhood. And really, they're very friendly people. They speak, they say hello. There's no racism where I live. You know, they're very open-minded people. Wouldn't you say that they're open-minded people? Like, don't you feel like warm and fuzzy and like I'm at home type of thing? You know, so it has to do with the neighborhood. You know, as someone told me, it's not where you're at, it's where you're No, it's not where you're from. It's where you're at. It's the zip code that matters and how people are going to treat you. So I'm going to run that test and see who's going to be open-minded about opening their door, because a lot of people where I live do not know me from a can of spray paint. So I want to see how open they are. Maybe I'll even set my husband up on a run and, you know, see if he can get a cup of sugar or some food. You know, if he says, you know, my family's hungry, can you help us? You know, they may look at him and think he's crazy, or they may call the cops. that's another thing that may happen. Because in this neighborhood, you shouldn't be asking for anything, because they figure you're here for a reason and you should already have everything you need. So that may play a big part in it, but we'll see how that goes. I'm going to set that up and see how I can pull that off. And, you know, it's good to go in the countries, but they're soliciting for Americans to come over and help them fight. If anybody's interested, the New York Times, they have a link in the paper. The New York Post has a link. If you want to go over, help the country fight and, you know, protect the Ukrainian, that would be a good thing to do. You know, a lot of people are just here and, you know, they're sending things over. If you wanted to donate some things to the military that's there helping out, that's also a good idea. You know, it's always good to give back. You know, selfishness doesn't play a good part in anybody's life today. Guys, I'd like to thank you all for coming on today. It is a lot of people on today. And I'd like to also let you guys know that I will be having my first year anniversary party. Not sure if it's going to be Atlanta or LA at the LA Talk Radio headquarters. Some of the guests that were on the show will be invited. I just want to say thank you guys for such a good, almost a year, having a good time. Thanks to my husband for coming on. Thanks to Becky with the good hair, who was very honest and has that book coming out. So we're going to look out for that and help her promote it as well. Thank you guys for coming on. I look forward to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.